It's nice to be here with all of you and to hear your words. Sounds like Pilgrim Camp is a special place to many of you, as it has been in my life too, and I'm thankful for it. I hear about going to conferences. I'm glad you went to that youth conference. That was a good thing. You came home changed. So I guess it can happen if you have faith toward God for that. I think one special thing in our meetings that is very important is that our attention is called to Jesus, to love him, to listen for him, to look to him, to long for him. That's another L. But these are things that are precious. And to open our hearts to him when we come together like this. You know, recently I mentioned at the last staff meeting, I was looking at Acts 2. We had just celebrated Pentecost Sunday. And I was reading Peter's explanation for what happened. And we know that the Holy Spirit gave that to him. And he preached powerfully, filled with the Holy Ghost. And he talked about the Holy Spirit. He talked about the promise of the Holy Spirit. But if you read that sermon carefully, it's really all about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real, takes the things of Christ. And that's what was happening. Peter said this is the fulfillment of the promise of God. And there were quite a number of promises he could have referred to, more recent ones. He did go back to the prophet Joel. But then he said this is also clear evidence that Jesus is exalted. And he preached how great Jesus is. That's really what he preached. Jesus is exalted. Jesus is at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, risen, glorified, exalted. And because he is there, he is here. In the power of the Holy Spirit, he has, what does it say? He has received the promise from the Father and shed forth this which you now see and hear. Your sin was to reject him. But, I preach him to you, and you may receive him. What mercy! They were cut to the heart. They were convicted. They said, what shall we do? And then also it was to turn to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit did that. The Holy Spirit, just as Jesus said, convicted them. And the Holy Spirit, when he works, he takes the things of Christ and makes them real to you, gives you a hearty desire for Jesus. You want Jesus. And they wanted things to be right, and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. There in that chapter it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful promise that is. And the Lord was dealing with those people that day. So that from 120 seeking him at the beginning of the chapter, there were 3,120 that knew him as Savior and Lord and had received the Holy Spirit at the end of that day. But Peter really preached about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit does that when he convicts us of our sin, when he shows us our need. That can be a powerful thing. They were trembling. They were trembling with conviction. But what does the Holy Spirit do? He takes people by the hand and he leads them to Jesus. Jesus is the one who can save. He's the one who can change. He's the one who can forgive. He's the one who can give life. He is the one who leads us to God, to fellowship with Him. He is the one who can change our lives completely. And we hear tonight that He's working to that end while we are here. This is a golden opportunity, or I heard other phrases used. This is a rare rare opportunity for all of us. And we're so thankful that God gives us opportunity like this so that we can love Jesus and long for Him. Perhaps you've had the experience referred to in the psalm as a deer pants for flowing streams. So pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for You. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is Your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are You cast down, O my soul? And why are You in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. The psalmist had one of those mountaintop experience, says, when he went to the convention, the conference. He went with the multitude. He had a great time. But I guess as Brother Dale or Sister Abby and someone else seconded that. Okay, anyway, said, when you leave them all, you're still with yourself, aren't you? You're still there. You and yourself and you, right? Me, myself, and I. You're still there, and you can't. Well, you don't want to separate. You don't want to end that, do you? So that can be a problem. But it's a wonderful thing when we can learn to look to Jesus and live in His presence and find that fullness of joy. And open our hearts to Him and offer ourselves to Him. And when we give ourselves to Him, He gives Himself to us. He does. And that's such a precious and wonderful thing. We read, He loved me and gave Himself for me. He loves me and gives Himself to me. It sounds as though there was something of that going on last night. And I suppose all the days that you've been here, God is working. And we want to open our hearts wide to Him and not miss what He is doing. Daniel Baker, I don't think I've ever taken my cue from you before. And tonight I just want to, for a moment. So this is a first for me. I'm happy to do that. Today as I was driving up here, I thought of Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The world is beautiful. This is my Father's world. He created it, and He's my Father, and He's placed me here, and it's a safe place for me in a certain sense, because He made all of this for our good and causes everything to work together for our good if we are those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. And we truly are safe and secure if we are in His presence in this world of His design and His creation. The earth is the Lord's, and we are His too, and all the fullness. I turned on the radio as I was near Albany. I wondered when the rain was finally going to start. And there's a good station there that gives the weather rather frequently, 810. And sure enough, they said, look out for tornadoes in certain counties that I was driving through, actually. And so I was watching out my window, getting a little dark, thought I might see a funnel cloud. I come from New York City. I think there have been tornadoes there, but I've never seen one. So I've only seen those funnel clouds on pictures. I thought maybe this is going to be my first opportunity. Then they said one had touched down in a place I had never heard of, so I want to look on the map. Some small town in the area, no doubt. But the reason I was really thinking about this psalm was the next part. And I remember how in Sunday school we memorized Psalm 24, how at home we memorized Psalm 24, and how even as a young boy, this psalm bothered me. And it's because of this next section. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. That was it. Who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Well, I also remembered having to memorize Psalm 15. And the reason I even mentioned 15 tonight is another list of requirements there for those who would dwell or live in God's presence. Who shall dwell on your holy hill? Who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. I remember having to learn that psalm by heart as well. And going over that list, the teacher would say, not to put out your money at interest. God doesn't like that. Or the word is usury or high interest. I suppose it would be all right if I lent you $1,000 and you said, well, what can I do? And I would say, well, when you pay it back, you could also buy me a black raspberry ice cream down at the store. I don't think that's what this is talking about. But some of these things are rather, it seems to me, rather easy to do, right? I'm not going to charge you $3,000 for $1,000 or whatever. Not a problem. But I remember Psalm 24 really bothered me. Because it said, just the tense, you see that? Who does not lift up his soul to what is false. I think in the King James Version, which I learned it, it says who has not done these things. He has not done these things. And it really, I just remember how I was troubled with that, as though it would shut me out from these blessings. And I remember enjoying that sixth verse then about seeking God and always thinking, I really need God. I really need to seek God. I'm not able to measure up to this, to ascend the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place. My hands are not clean. My heart is not pure. So what is the remedy for this? I have lifted up my soul to what is false. I have worshipped vain idols. In my heart I have. And so have you. And I've sworn deceitfully. What does that mean for me? Well, there is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, the Holy Spirit's energies, an advocate with God. These prepare us for the sight of holiness above, the sons of ignorance and night may dwell in the eternal light through the eternal love, and receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob, people whose hearts have been cleansed, whose hands are clean, who fulfill these requirements. Well, how can I do that? And I've come to think of Psalm 24 somewhat differently than I did, or from the way that I did when I first memorized it. And here's how it is. I think there's only one person who has ever done this. Only one. And we know who that is, the Lord Jesus. He has lived the perfect, sinless life. He has fulfilled all righteousness for his people. And he grants them his righteousness. He gives them his blessing as they repent and believe, put their full trust in him. He grants them forgiveness. We just sang, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood. On the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. And we sing that song sometimes with a great joy, and it should always be with a great joy, because think of the alternative. What if you were not forgiven? What if you were not justified? What would you be? You would be condemned. Well, that should make you glad, shouldn't it? The difference between being condemned and being justified, being saved, being forgiven, having the Lord say their sins and their iniquities will I remember against them no more. That's great. My sins are under the blood. Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that I might be forgiven. But then there's something that goes along with that. We have a song we sing that says, oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss the blood washed. No. It speaks about the cleansing of the blood. We have forgiveness. God has forgiven us. He's taken away our guilt because of what Jesus has done. He became sin for us. He knew no sin but became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, he has ascended the hill of the Lord. He has clean hands. He has a pure heart, absolutely perfect. No fault in him. And because of him, and only in him, and only by him, I can ascend the hill of the Lord too. We read God the Father saying, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Jesus has ascended. Jesus is there. And I in him, as I trust in him, there's power in his precious blood to forgive and to cleanse. Thinking about the cleansing of the blood, there's a power we read in the book of Hebrews to cleanse our defiled consciences. And when those consciences are cleansed, we have clean hands and a pure heart, white as snow, though my sins were as scarlet. Yet I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of his blood, through the wonder of his love, through faith in him. I know that I can be white as snow. And I also know that these aren't just words, but this is a mighty power. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament pointed forward to what Jesus would do when he would shed his holy blood, the spotless Lamb of God would give himself on the cross so that we could be forgiven and that we could be washed, we could be clean before him. Isaac Watts has a song that says, not all, or I guess he wrote it as a poem, somebody else put it to music, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. The sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they, infinitely richer, more powerful blood, blood that can open heaven to a sinner like me. Wonderful Lord, I thank you. The sons of ignorance and night may dwell in the eternal light through the eternal love. Let's see, I stopped in the middle of that Isaac Watts song, didn't I? Sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. By faith I lay my hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. My soul looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear when hanging on the accursed tree, and knows her guilt was there. Believing, we rejoice to see the curse removed. We bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing his bleeding love. Forgiven, I'm cleansed. By his power, this guilty conscience can be cleansed. And because of that, my hands can be clean and my heart can be pure before God, and I can ascend this holy hill, but not on my own, never on my own, in Christ alone, because of Christ alone, by his work alone, Jesus. We sing in another song, to that fountain of thine, leaning on thy promise, I go, cleanse me by thy washing divine, and I shall be whiter than snow. And now that's really wonderful to me. And I was thinking about it today, just thanking Jesus for who he is and what he's done. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And when the Holy Spirit touches you and makes you feel that wonderful anointing, it's to make Jesus real and precious to you so that you want him with all your heart. He becomes your all. It says Christ is all, and he lives in you. And he manifests his life to you and his power to deliver you, to save you, to make you clean and to keep you clean in his holy sight. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the joy of sins forgiven and the bliss, the blood washed, known. And thank you for these experiences that these precious young people and all who've testified have had. Thank you for this, Lord. And we know that all these things are meant to draw us closer to Jesus. Closer to Jesus, who alone can change us and help us, give us strength for the pilgrim journey, Lord, even after we leave camp. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we don't leave you here, but that you walk with us and you fill us and you keep us and you enable us to love you with all of our hearts and enjoy the fellowship with you that we were created to have. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, tonight, I know that you're right here and right now, Lord Jesus. And you are the Savior who is mighty, and the Savior who is loving, and the Savior who woos us and wins our hearts. And we want to give everything to you. Hallelujah, and let you have your way with us. for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah.